Baptism is a sacrament. It's something that the body of Christ is meant to do regularly and to honor the Lord and to honor the body. Baptism is appropriately administered to those who give a believable profession of faith. That's why we don't really call it baby baptism. We actually don't really believe in that. We believe baptism is only reserved with a believable profession of faith. And so let me read from Romans chapter 6. And this is verse 3 to 4, and it gives us a pretty good outline. So Romans 6, 3 to 4 says, "Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For we have become united with him in the likeness of his death. Certainly, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection." And so what we have baptism, the significance is the symbolism of this union that we have as Christ in his death, his burial, and also his resurrection. And it seems that this requires baptism by immersion to happen. Now, the picture of baptism by immersion is one going down into the water as to a grave and then being buried and then coming out of the water. It really is this perfect picture of being raised with Christ to walk in this newness of life. It's a symbolic death of one's old life and rising to a new way of living in Christ. In other words, it's the outward symbol of beginning the Christian life. The easy way of saying it, it's the outward sign of inward regeneration. In other words, God is already doing something in me inwardly, and this is just the outward sign of that. Now, it's really important that we understand theologically, we don't get baptized to be saved. We are saved by grace, but we get baptized because we are saved. It's a privilege of the saved to enter into this kind of relationship. And obviously, we at Solomon Sports, we value the community. And even though baptism is a personal decision, we believe it's done in community. And so what I'm going to ask you to do, I'm going to ask you to receive these five candidates into the body of Christ and receive them as brothers or sisters in Christ. And so we also value prayer as well. And so when they come in, we want friends, family, house church members, even you guys in the overflow room, you're allowed to come during this time. But afterwards, please go back to your seat. And then come, and we want to pray for them before they go in and especially when they come out. And feel free to share visions and prophetic words and, you know, scriptures and what God has given to you for them in this very special occasion. And so we'll be doing that during this time. Now, remember, we talked about it's a believable profession of faith. And so the best part of this is each one of our candidates will come up and they'll share a brief testimony about their life and what, you know, why they're making this decision. And so, you know, public speaking, it could be a bit scary. I'm not trying to scare you now, but it could be a bit scary. So for you as an audience, I want you to be very encouraging. Amen? And so it's a little hard with the mask on, but I want you to smile the whole time, okay? This smile with your eyes. Can you guys do that? Can you guys smile with your eyes? Maybe not. All right, try your best, okay? And so I want you to be energetic. I want you to support. And you, five candidates in this service, there's also five in the next service. I want you to know that you're not speaking to strangers. You're speaking to friends. And we're here not to judge your testimony. We're here to encourage you and really receive life from the life that Christ has brought into your life. Amen? Okay? All right. So let's get excited. Let's pump these guys up. It's going to be a great, great service. And then afterwards, each one of you will come into the water with me, and then I'll dunk you, I'll immerse you into the water, okay? It's a little cold, mind you, but it's a hot day, so that's fine.
Good morning, SP brothers and sisters. I'm so honored today to be baptized at SP. And I come from Beijing 20 years ago for studies in Hong Kong. And then I met my husband in school, and we started our career in Hong Kong. And we now have two lovely kids, Max and Angela, sitting over there. And I was first invited to SP in 2013, thanks to my friend Yi. I think she is watching me online from Singapore. And I remember the first time I come to SP Sunday service, I was immediately attracted by the worship song team. The song was so pleasing to my ear. I remember after I came back home, I told my husband that, oh, this church is so rich. They can have professional band on the stage for worship time. Of course, later on, I found out that they are our brothers and sisters. They are so talented and professional. I hope one day I can have some talent to be used by God to worship Him. I think it is so cool. And I joined Element House Church. It is my another friend, Thaddeus. He is also in the building right now. Thanks very much. He helped me send through email to John and Sue. I remember he owned me that this house church is very big. They may not have enough more seat for new members. And when someone tell you may not get it, I want it more. I prayed and I'm so lucky that I was accepted by Element House Church. And over the years, John and Sue treat me super, super nice. And I can feel how much they love House Church, how much they care about us. Not only as a house church they were leading, but also individually. And I remember the next morning after the first house church, I felt so relaxed and energetic on my way to the office. It was not normal, actually. Normally, I will feel relaxed and energetic after work when I went home. I know the feeling, I can still remember the feeling. It was very peaceful and energetic. I know that comes from God. Over the years, God has changed me in a lot of aspects, but the most notable one is my relationship with my father. My father is very strict to me when I was young, so I become very rebellious when I grow up. But I know he loves me. I want to restore the relationship, but I just don't know how. Until one day I read the verses 1 Corinthians 13 verses 4. Love is patient, love is kind. I was shocked when I read this passage, this verse. I used to think to love someone is to give the best I can offer to someone, but that is not love from God. God, among all the good attributes, God pick up patience as the first word to define the love. And I want to practice this patience on my father, but it's not easy. I pray to the Lord, and amazing things happened. When my father say something that make me unhappy, instead of attacking him back immediately, I can think from his perspective, and sometimes I can help him to elaborate his idea. And amazingly that I'm not afraid of tell him my own different opinion anymore, and of course with patience. Then one day, out of nowhere, my father said to me, "Daughter, I think you have changed. Your heart becomes soft. I think it may come from Christianity." I was so touched at that moment. I know that he felt my love. And I'm even happy he even credit that to God. He is not a Christian, and I feel that he experienced God through me. Then I extend this magical patience to my husband. when we were in disagreement, and also extend that to my children. I'm trying. It's a long journey, and why out of my mind with them. And also extend that to myself, and also back to God. I know that God doesn't make an oak tree overnight. It takes years for him to make an oak tree, and it must also take him years to make a good person in his eyes. And at this moment of life, I'm so happy to be baptized because I need God more than any time in the past. Due to COVID, due to the travel ban, my career was adversely affected, and I decided to break from industry and spend some time with my family and my kids. Especially my daughter will have the primary one interview this year. There are tons of work to do. It is a rational decision, at least I think, but it's not easy for me. I'm worried about whether I can resume a career after travel ban. I also realize that how difficult to be a good parent. I don't want myself falling into the situation that I had with my father. I really need God's wisdom and strength. I want to conclude my baptism by Philippians 1:6. I'm sure that God, who began the good work in me, will keep on working in me until the day Jesus Christ comes again. And this is my testimony. Thanks, everyone, for listening.
Okay, stay here real quick. Okay, church, do you receive Carol as your sister in Christ?
Yes.
Amen. Great. Good job. Good job.
You go before me to prepare the blessing. You made a way. It's more than I could imagine, more than I can fathom or comprehend.
I'm Sissy. As much as I wanted to have a dramatic story to share with you guys today and to keep everyone awake, my relationship with God has been gradual. Looking back, he's always been here, quietly, only because I didn't pay much attention. He's never a stranger to me. Growing up in Christian school, I first learned about him as a loving father who loves me and forgives me no matter what I do. And I also remember there was a Bible verse on the wall at the entrance of the school saying that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. There was a part of me who always wanted to find out this wisdom. But then as a teenager, a lot of things to do, a lot of fun things to do. So I didn't prioritize my seeking. I made choices based on my personal needs and lie when I, and it was an easier way. And I weighed my own action and comfort myself saying that there's no harm to others, so that's okay to do. Even though I knew God and my family wouldn't be pleased, they were not. I continued my action and told myself that there is forgiveness, accessible like 7-Eleven, right? And I didn't know that how valuable this love, grace, and forgiveness were. And I exploit God's love to me, and also like how I exploit the love my family gave me. At high school time, there was an incident that leads to a big fight between me and my friend. So I was hiding myself at home during weekend. Me staying at home during weekend was very strange, very unusual. So Mom noticed that and invited me to go to church with her. Somehow, when I was singing the worship songs, my tear burst out. That was probably the first God encounter I had from my heart. Unfortunately, people tend to prioritize things based on urgency but not importance. So did I. Going to university, busy with coursework, a lot more fun, job hunting, dealing with the change in the environment from school to office, social life with colleagues. There was no time to respond to that encounter. Yet his love was persistent and has always been persistent, even though when I paused, he never stopped pursuing. He knew that I have so many excuses. So in 2015, he put me in a loving work environment with a lot of caring teammates and manageable work. And there was also a Christian colleague who invited me to join the lunchtime fellowship, the Alpha course, the seminar, and my mom's baptism in 2016. And life without much worries. I remember this incomplete task. Alpha gave me all the facts, but I wanted to encounter God from the heart again. Without knowing anyone, so I visited SP because it opens during lunchtime and it's closer to office. Came here for Phil Sunday service. I still didn't get that strong affection. So I asked God, I prayed to God that if you are real and if this is real, then show me signs and help me to experience you again with my heart. In 2017, I went to Siberia in Russia with a group of 30 people for a marathon running across a frozen lake. I asked God and I prayed to God that let me just meet one single Christian in this 10-day trip, and that would be a sign coming from you. Searching for this one single Christian in our group and also among the another 100 people that who would be running in the marathon, couldn't find even single one or just one single people that wearing accessory with a cross. Then I thought that maybe it's time to say bye to this faith. As I was leaving the country, getting on in a taxi, I met this taxi driver. So after settling with our luggages, he got in a car, switched through the radio channels as he took me to airport. He stopped at a channel that plays English worship songs. Then once he stopped at that channel, settled happily and then singing along, my heart melted and happy tears came out. I took that as a sign, and that is probably my second encounter from the heart. Slowly, I see transformation happens. Now I'm closer to my Heavenly Father. I would do things to please Him, not because He requested me to do, but because I love Him. With love, temptation and challenges seems more bearable, for I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. To close this, I want to thank everyone that who walked with me along this faith journey. Me being an introvert, I don't often express my feeling or my gratitude quite obviously, but subtly, if you can feel it. And also to close, I want to remind everyone that the power of our community, it helps me to grow a lot. It bring me back when there is something wrong with me. It helped me to remember who I am. Just like cycling, some people see it as an individual sport with just you and the bike, but it is also a team sport where you ride with a group of people who support each other along the way. When your bottle is empty, you get theirs, and when you are climbing uphill and it's tough, they'll encourage you. And when you're going downhill, it's scary, then they're here as well. And when you see them riding so fast, then it motivates you to ride faster. To close this with one Bible verse, Galatians 6:2, carry each other's burdens, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. Thank you.
Amen. Do you receive Cece as your sister in Christ? Amen, amen. Thank you.
Good morning, SP. My name is Lawrence. Thank you for this opportunity to share my faith journey. I grew up in Hong Kong in a loving family that is not religious and perhaps not the most expressive. My parents showed their love not in words, but through action and their sacrifices. And in return, we as children would work hard and try to make them proud. So the goals in my life and my path have always been pretty clear and straightforward. I would aim for what the world tells me is good and desirable. I studied to get good grades, got into a medical school, completed my specialist training, and started a small medical practice. Goals after goals, I achieved. But it kind of felt like building a house on sand. And I wonder if there was something more to it. Growing up, the Christian faith and the Bible were not something foreign to me. I studied in a Christian school, and in fact, Bible studies was one of the subjects I took in a public examination. Every morning at school, we would sing hymns and say the Lord's Prayer. However, to me, there were just too many gaps and questions in the Christian faith, and the eventual answer I got was usually, you just have to believe and have faith, and then things will start to make sense. And that, coming from a more scientific and logical background, that did not work too well for me. It sounded like blind faith. It seemed impossible to prove or disprove a God that is, by definition, beyond our understanding. And how do we even know that the Bible is trustworthy when it was written more than 2,000 years ago? So I have been an agnostic for a long time, while the busyness of life kept me distracted. But even so, in hindsight, I realized that God has not been silent, and he has been seeking and waiting for his lost son all these years. I did not have a dramatic encounter with God, but rather he has planted a lot of small seeds along the way in my heart. I still remember the strange sense of peace when I sat inside Notre Dame, and I am grateful for all the people, both friends and strangers, who prayed for me, people who invited me to church and Alpha courses, people who encouraged me to seek him. I even had a friend who tricked me into browsing a Christian bookstore in North Carolina. Among these important people is my then-girlfriend, now wife, Sissy, who will soon be baptized with me. My desire to learn about this faith was reignited, and I wanted to know if it was true, because, as C.S. Lewis has said, Christianity, if false, is of no importance, and if true, is of infinite importance. The one thing it cannot be is moderately important. So I started reading and doing my own research. Among these, I enjoyed the book Case for Christ, which looks at the facts and evidence and gives a critical appraisal of the Bible, of Jesus' life, his resurrection, and his bold claim as the Son of God. I was also inspired by books like Mere Christianity and Can Man Live Without God, where we looked at the meaning of life, morality, suffering, and the despair when one lives without God. To minimize bias, I also tried to read about other religions and compared other worldviews and even read books by atheists like Richard Dawkins' The God Delusion. The more due diligence I did, the more I realized that the Bible is reliable and trustworthy on many levels. And it appears that the Christian faith is the only coherent worldview that addresses the life's great existential questions of origin, meaning, morality, and destiny. And being a doctor who deals with life and death from time to time gives me the privilege to witness the fragility of life, but also allows me to truly appreciate the beauty and the miracle of life. After years of reading and reflection, I came to the conclusion that trusting God and believing in Jesus is actually the most logical and sensible thing to do, and may not be such a great leap of faith that I used to believe. It has been a long journey, and in November 2019, I decided to become a follower of Christ and gave my life to Jesus. And since I opened my heart to him, I began to see and experience his amazing love and unconditional love for us, freely given. Instead of the void and despair that inevitably comes with a life without God, I have found my cornerstone and hope in this life and the eternal life that follows. It is perhaps no coincidence that we are celebrating this unconditional agape love of our Heavenly Father today. Happy Father's Day.
Good job.
Do you receive Lawrence as your brother in Christ? Yeah. Amen. Good job.
Child, I was brought up in a relatively Christian household. That being said, I was baptized as an infant and introduced to the Lord and Jesus Christ at an early age. Thinking back, religion has been something ingrained or imprinted upon my mind. Hold up. Much better. The pursuit of Christianity was taught to myself in a similar manner as etiquette or morality. From the age of 3, I blindly believed in the resurrection of Jesus and other stories of miracles that a weakened Christian or even some layman would know. Force is a strong word, so I was strongly advised by my mother to attend church. I perceived going to church as a tedious chore to appease my mother. In those days, I would have only prayed when met with dire, desperate, backed up against the wall situations. These were usually never prayers to seek guidance, but rather a prayer asking for God for selfish alleviations of pain and suffering in the moment. The inauguration of my deviation from the already little faith and knowledge of Christ began when I left Hong Kong for private boarding school in Canada, an outcome which was a result of my own dismal demise from God, albeit I obviously did not realize at the time. Growing up in a culturally diverse and bustling metropolis, I was shocked when I entered a completely different realm upon arriving at the school. The behavior that ensued would be best described as a caged animal being set free, running amok while simultaneously being fear-stricken and yearning for his cage subconsciously. An intentionally predominantly Caucasian school of around 300 country wealthy students, I faced extreme prejudice that stemmed from ignorant naivety. However, ignorance and naivety did not stop the dejection that eventuated. I hated my race and everything I was born with. I embarked on a mission to set myself apart from the other Asians and soon after, everyone else, to break free. In the setting of a school, one usually gains recognition through academic, athletic, or artistic achievements. However, I deemed academic excellence and athletic distinction to be arduous and would not result in the recognition I desired. My foolish conclusion was to become the pinnacle of a degenerate delinquent, which in hindsight ultimately resulted in a 3-month suspension and an extremely challenging high school graduation. This mindset and lifestyle continued into university. The acceptance itself was truly a miracle from God. All the while, my mental health was deteriorating and I had become an odious person. With every passing day, the thought of redemption and salvation seemed less plausible, and I had settled for eternal suffering and damnation post-mortem. It petrifies me now that I was not able to perceive the scale of these consequences. Midway through the second year of university, I experienced my first life-changing miracle. In university, for 2 years, I was an impulsive liar and manipulative of those around me. I skived and forged digital transcripts. But to get me out of that destructive pattern, God arranged a meeting of 2 people that I would never have met just from pure coincidence. The two people being my professor and my mother, who bumped into each other at Costco. Taken, Ottawa has a population of 900,000 people, whilst having roughly the same land size as Hong Kong. The occurrence of the event was highly improbable. a coincidence, I thought at the time. This halted my declination of distance from God. A wake-up call it was. The first miracle helped me discern the work of God from pure coincidence. In the span of 20 minutes of the event happening, I went from anger to fear and shame, from coincidence to acknowledgement of God's miracle. I felt God's anger, or so I thought. Looking back, it was his love. My perception of the situation was just clouded by the devil. A year passed since the event, and I slowly weaned myself off bad habits and such, but most importantly, focused more on living a life that aligns with the Lord's word more. I have not yet at this point even opened the Bible yet. Simply feeling his presence in my life, and that he does care, led me to a drastic change. Come late May 2020, I reconnected with my family, and in doing so, I was able to reconnect with God. I was severely traumatized by the events that had occurred so far, but through prayer, I was able to have assurance. During this time, I had a confirmation ceremony at my home church in Toronto, a declaration that God is my one true Savior. Doing so of my own accord and recognizing God felt like I was receiving a warm hug from someone who truly understands me. The gradual dive into the pool of God's knowledge and community was daunting at first. I had grown to be wary and doubtful of people, guilty and malicious until proven not. But during this time, I reconnected with a childhood friend, Justin, who introduced me to an online Bible study group that exuded so much kindness and understanding, I could not fathom that a human could do so. Justin was just happy for my path going into the future, regardless of my path. This group helped me grow to give people the benefit of the doubt. Thus, for the first time, I look forward to Sundays. Living with God in my life has truly been a blessing, from being heavily medicated and being gray to none but God. He has healed me and shown me that his power is above all. He is able to provide eternal happiness that I can never get tired of. Each dose of God is as powerful and fulfilling as the first. 6 months into attending these Bible study sessions, I was touched by the Holy Spirit. Suffering from self-induced depression and anxiety, it was hard to emote. However, whilst my siblings in Christ were praying for me, I burst into tears. I cried for the first time in what felt like eternity. And in that moment, I felt bliss, tranquility, and most of all, salvation. It was a feeling of unconditional love and forgiveness that even my earthly parents could not give me. A complete understanding. I realized that what I was seeking was not achievable by a mere human, but by God only. The assurance of faith has given me the confidence to stop being stagnant in life, to have conviction to move forward in life without fear of not knowing. Through him, I'm able to be thankful for life, not wish for premature death. Through him, I've found true happiness. And through him, I'm saved. Thank you.
Sure. Amen. Do you receive God for you as your brother in Christ? Amen. Good job.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. You unravel me. You unravel me with a man.
Hi, my name is Beth, and I turned 13 this Saturday. My family and I have attended SP since I was about 5 years old. I can't think of a time where I have not believed. I was raised in a Christian home, and going to church and Christian schools has always been normal. The word Jesus has always been in my life. I say the word Jesus because despite the fact that I've always believed in Jesus, for most of my life, he was not so personal. Jesus was that hero of the story, a story that I knew so well and know is true, but always seemed so far away. He was that person that I admired and loved, but from afar. He was God, so powerful, so amazing, yet so untouchable. I think that's why I'm only getting baptized now. I watched as so many of my SB Kids classmates get baptized year after year, and each time P. Mary would come up to me and ask if I wanted to get baptized myself, I always said no. I feel like this is because my faith had always been so impersonal. Praying on my own seemed forced and awkward, and I realize now that my faith back then was really not my own, and more of my parents and my teachers. Even though I knew that Jesus had died for me, I was not really doing anything about it or pursuing a personal relationship with God. But as I grew older, I've grown closer to God. The first time that I realized this was about last year in Rockets. We had to do this prophetic praying exercise where we had to pray for another person without knowing who that person was. When I told P. Mary what I felt like God had said to me, I felt like I had made up some mumbo-jumbo that my conscience had just come up with, like, randomly. But later on, when P. Mary told us what we had prayed for each other about, she said that she completely agreed with what everybody had said. I was totally shocked because for the first time, God was real to me. He was someone I could talk to and someone who would answer. And it was then that I really started my relationship with God. I started really looking into who God is to me. As my relationship with God grew, I started to actively realize that I was not just another person on this planet. God loves me. He died for me, and despite knowing this my entire life, this truth is so much more real now. I can talk to him as if he's really there, like he's my friend, and I can hear his voice even though I'm not always sure if it's him. He loves me even though I did nothing to deserve it. And I love him. It was difficult to love someone I didn't know, but now that he's really in my life, I have found that I can, and I do love him. I love him because he's always been there for me, and he always will be there to listen. I love him because he laid down his life for me because of his mercy and grace. I know my testimony isn't ridiculously inspiring or anything compared to what you might hear today, but I'm not here to awe you, only to let you know about my decision to follow Christ. I want to thank everyone who has helped me get to where I am today, my family, my parents and grandparents, who have always supported me in my faith, answered questions, and helped me grow, my teachers both here at SP and at school, who have taught me so much about God and the Bible, and God, who has been there every step of the way, who has never and will never leave me. Thank you.
Wow, 13 years old, huh? Amazing. Amazing. Do you receive Beth as your sister in Christ?
Yeah.
Amen. Good job. Good job.
Just like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. I have you in the goodness of God.
Hello, I am Diego, and I have decided to get baptized today. I have grown up knowing Jesus, and I have been to Christian and Catholic kindergartens, and my mother became Christian a few years after I was born and began bringing me to different churches, and then my father became Christian a few years later. Though I have experienced him when I was younger, I still began to doubt for some reason, and in primary, and then my life started going bad. And from then on, I did something things that I really did not well like and regret deeply to this day. But however, in recent years, God has helped me put my trust back in Him more. After I entered this new Christian school called SAMU School. There I met wonderful friends who are here present, who helped me live a more Christian life just by being there by my side. I also started reading the Bible since it was a requirement at school, and I have actually read it from cover to cover there. And learned much more. I have also, I've grown more closer in Christ. And while writing this testimony and thinking of the things that happened throughout my life, I realized that God has done quite a lot of things to me, though I didn't quite notice it through the journey. Because my friends helped me become a better person, and me and my family's relationship has become better, and that I have also now read the Bible and know more about God. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God and bore our sins, and by faith I am saved and by his grace. And finally, though I'm not perfect and still have a long way to go, God said in 2 Corinthians 2:9, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Thank you.
Good job. Amen, amen. Good job, Diego. Do you receive Diego as your brother in Christ?
Yeah.
Amen, good job. Proud of you, man.
Life, you have been faithful. And all my life, you have been so, so good. That every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Good afternoon, SP. My name is Anne. I was born and raised in France and have been living in Hong Kong for a little bit more than 7 years now. I am new to Christianity and have been coming to SP since last summer. That's right. That's just about a year ago, and I'm already getting baptized. people say about love, when you know, you know. And in this case, I couldn't agree more. But first, let me share my testimony with you. Life for as long as I remember it was for me a relentless pursuit of acceptance and sense of belonging. I grew up in a Buddhist patriarchal family, and needless to say, I started off the wrong foot just being born a girl and a daughter. Tough and conditional love was a given, and as a kid, I couldn't understand it. It made me feel like I was never good enough, and as a response, it exacerbated my bad temper. The racism and bullying at school from even my closest friends made it all worse, and it profoundly scarred me. I vowed never to be a victim of my circumstances again and live by the adage that a good offense is the best defense. I built walls instead of bridges. I held grudges. I became cynical, defiant, rebellious, unforgiving, and unkind. I questioned everything good life was ready to bring, and yet I was so desperately yearning for those things. I remember crossing paths with a Christian once. He tried to share the gospel with me, and I brutally shut him down. Not proud of that. Fast forward in 2013, I left Paris and moved to Hong Kong for work. I did not expect life here to be another series of life disappointments and mental health struggles. All the heartbreaks and friendships falling out convinced me that I still wasn't good enough, and never will be. With my support network falling apart, I felt even more abandoned, lonely than I ever have. Eventually, I also burnt out from work and spiraled down into depression. I decided to pack my bags and leave Hong Kong for a sabbatical to South America. Before I got anywhere, I was introduced by one of my ex-colleagues to my current job. And in my current job, I met my colleague and friend John, who is sitting somewhere in this crowd today, and who introduced me to SP. I found out later that both of them are Christians and both of them going to SP but in different countries. Life has a funny way to come full circle. Anyway, new job, new opportunity. It gave me hope, so I took it. It did deliver on its promises for a time. The work itself was stimulating, the occasional job satisfaction accelerating. But everything was a major adjustment, and I struggled fitting in. Long story short, my mental health has not improved so much before I took on my new role. People have always kept me going, however difficult work may get. But this time, things would be different. Eventually, I burnt out again. This time, I hit rock bottom. I felt hopeless, drained, as if life left me. Worse, I started to wonder if life was worth living at all. As I was drowning in an abyss of despair, my colleague and friend John invited me to come to church with him, and I did. I felt like a fish out of the water during the entire service, but I sat through it all. And it somehow sparked a fuzzy, warm feeling in my heart. And in the end, I went up to receive a prayer. That prayer was so spot on, it left me all teared up, shaken, and curious. So I attended the service again the following week. Little did I know the sermon that week spoke to me so powerfully and resonated so powerfully within me, as if God was speaking to me through PSAM. I continued to attend the service weekly. I read The Purpose-Driven Life. I started to listen to the Bible. I signed up for Alpha and GIC. Yeah, this is pretty intense, but I'm like that. Somewhere along the way, I found myself seeking God in my heart. Many extraordinary things started to happen, one of which particularly stood out. That Sunday started off like every other when. I came to service, sat next to my prayer buddy, Hina, who unfortunately couldn't make it to the sanctuary but is somewhere in the building. We started to worship. I felt an incredibly warm, an overwhelming presence stirring my heart. I started to sob uncontrollably. My mask was soaked, a little bit like today, actually. It was gross. And I finally was able to pull myself together when PSAM came up here and acknowledged the presence of the Holy Spirit. And there I was again, this time, sobbing and unstoppable. I noticed Hina next to me was also tearing up, and before we knew it, we were both on our knees. It was very humbling for the both of us, but for me, it was groundbreaking. I came to understand that day that this is what God does. He so loved the world, He gave His only Son for us, and despite our past and our imperfections, He never discriminates, never forsakes. He changes our mind, softens our hearts, He redeems our brokenness and restores our souls. The Bible says if we earnestly seek Him, He is faithful and will reveal Himself to us, and it is true. I walked away from that service filled with a most profound sense of peace, as if God poured all of His grace and all of His love over every crack of my broken heart. I knew I wanted to be saved. 2 weeks later, I came to Christ during GIC in the presence of P. Nate and my classmates, who prayed for me. There I was on the evening of 13 November 2020, saved, marking the beginning of my life as a Christian. And here I am today, daring to say, out of the darkness, with the promise to never thirst again, getting baptized. Words cannot express how deeply thankful I am to our Heavenly Father, for my family, whom I wish could be here today, for putting up with me all these years, and for their love and support. For my colleague and friend John, who introduced me to SP and shared the gospel with me, for Hina and her unfaltering encouragement and incredible faith, my wholesome house church family, but also for P-Nate, my GIC groups, my Alpha and EG groups, and the many other awesome Christians I met on this amazing journey for bringing me one step closer to Christ and whom I am now blessed to call my brothers and sisters. I know without a doubt that this was His grace at work and His plans unfolding. I, for one, cannot continue to know Him, to be like Him, and to make Him known. Thank you.
Amen. Oh, that was powerful. Do you receive Anne as your sister in Christ?
Yeah.
Amen. Thank you.
At the right time, when I least expect it, never begun. So why would I be surprised when you deliver?
Hi everyone, I'm Susan, and I would like to share with you my journey from being a non-believer to where I am today, getting baptized at SP. Just a bit of a background, I came from a dedicated Buddhist family and I was never religious. On Chinese New Year Day in 2018, my parents flew to Melbourne for vacation with their friends, and during that flight, my dad was infected with influenza B. The night that they landed, my dad encountered shortness of breath and he fell ill. So my mom and their friends sent him to the hospital. Hello. By the time the nurse called me, she told me my dad was suffering a severe heart attack. Sorry. Okay, do you want to come up? Thank you. All right. By the time that the nurse called me, she told me my dad suffered a heart attack, and his heart was only functioning less than 10%, and that I must fly over to Melbourne right away, as they were not sure if he was going to make it. I stayed in Melbourne for 1 month, and during that time, my dad experienced all sort of complications. He had a severe pneumonia and was like high fever and was medically induced coma. Rachel and some friends told me they would pray for me, and they asked me to keep praying. So every day I begged God to save him, and I would go to church to thank him when I'm back in Hong Kong. My dad stayed in the ICU for 16 days. He was still coughing blood due to pneumonia. When he got out of the ICU, it was his first day he was allowed to eat without a feeding tube. When the nurse brought the hospital food to my dad, he was so happy that he was clapping. As I was walking back to the hotel that day, I saw this beautiful sunset, and I was so overwhelmed with gratitude and beauty that I burst out crying uncontrollably and kept saying, "Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus." Looking back, I think that was my first encounter with God, which is where I felt his love and presence. Shortly after, my dad shared his experience while he was in the ICU. He said he flew to Antarctica, and when he landed, he was in a beautiful white church with a golden roof, and he saw a big cross. Sorry, guys. Okay, I'll be there. He was listening to a pastor, and after the sermon, he got baptized. When he looked outside, he saw many people surrounding a person. He saw a nurse and asked who that is, and the nurse said that was Jesus. That's when he realized he went to heaven. He asked the nurse if he can go talk to Jesus, as he felt very weak and he wanted some energy. The nurse said, "Sure, you can go and try to ask him." So he went over to Jesus and asked Jesus to save him as he doesn't want to die. Jesus asked him, "Do you believe me?" He said, "Yes." Then Jesus said, "Will you repent?" He said, "Yes." So my dad wrote a list and showed to Jesus and waited. Jesus read the list and said no, and he walked away. My dad chased after Jesus and begged Jesus and his disciples to see if he could reconsider to say yes, as he loves his wife, my mom, very much, and he doesn't want to leave her behind. Then after a while, Jesus said yes, and he will let my dad live. He asked Jesus to give him a sign that he's still alive, and the next thing he knew, he opened his eyes, and he was back in the ICU room. My brother asked him if he knows where he is, and my dad said, "Yes, I'm in Antarctica." So he said he was communicating with Jesus telepathically, and it felt so real. Of course, like me having some doubts because I was religious, I didn't know about God or Jesus. I asked him many questions, but his story was so detailed that it was difficult not to believe him. Not sure what to think about my dad's story. When we flew back to Hong Kong, I went to SP to fulfill my promise. That day, I heard Pete Simon in the sermon speaking about Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you." Pete Simon says, sometimes God will give you the answer yes or no, but the hardest is when it's a maybe and you have to wait. You have to keep praying and keep knocking on God's door. That really took to my heart the power of prayer. Shortly after, Rachel encouraged me to take an Alpha class to learn more about Jesus. At the end of the course, my Alpha team asked if they could pray for me. While they were praying, I was so touched that I started bawling, and my team told me I was touched by the Holy Spirit. I felt that after I accepted Jesus, I am more at peace, and my life has completely changed. It became full of love and happiness. A few months after I accepted Jesus, he answered my prayers again, and I found love there, over there, and a miracle baby here as well, Declan, full of goodness, and amazing mother and father-in-law. I'm so grateful and humbled by what Jesus has given me. My dad is a walking, living miracle where he has fully recovered. I'm looking forward to growing in deeper knowledge and love with Jesus through SP, my friends, and family. Thank you, everyone.
Amen, amen. Do you receive Susan as your sister in Christ?
Yeah.
Amen. Good job, good job.
Your faithfulness remains, and I believe, that I will see the goodness of the Lord. I'm confident as seasons change, your faithfulness.
Good afternoon, SP. Hi, my name is Yareen, and before I met Yeshua, I was a non-believer for 40-odd years. I was born and raised in a small settlement in the rural northern part of Israel, known as the Lower Galilee, at the heart of the Israel Valley, below the town of Nazareth. As a young boy, God was never spoken of, not by my parents or by the people around me, as if he never existed. I remember learning about the God of Israel in the Bible lessons in primary school. The Torah, the five books of Moses' law, told the story of our people and how we became a nation of Israel. But these stories touched my heart only skin deep. Growing up, I've strayed away from God. I didn't want to know him, and I never knew he loved me, his son. I couldn't tell that at the time how wrong my actions were in the eyes of God. I didn't understand the meaning of sin. Like many, I've served in the Israeli army. One night, while I was on a long march with my platoon, I called God for the first time. I was carrying a heavy load, and it was wearing me down. I needed strength. I just called out, "God, help me." I got no answer that moment, but I carried on walking for 30 miles until the night ended. Sorry. I never called him again for 20 years. Only years later, when I read Psalms 121, I realized what happened that night. Trusting in God and calling him for help. My experience while in the army reinforced my conviction that God was not around. My reasoning was, if God was almighty, how could he allow so many of my brothers in arms lose their lives so young? I was always a scholar of science and logic. I became a designer and an engineer, never truly understanding how God, who is the real architect of this world. When my dear wife Jasmine and I met, she asked me if I believe in God and Yeshua. I explained to her that where I come from and how I do not believe in both. This situation made her very concerned. She had prayed for me a lot. And Jasmine and I had endless discussions about God, the Bible, and Yeshua. Jasmine shared with me many testimonies of Jewish people who met Yeshua. Believing in God was one leap of faith, but the story of Yeshua was just too much for me to accept. For my sake, she never gave up. When our first daughter was born, she was not breathing well. The doctors rushed her off into the intensive care unit. At that moment, I was told to leave my wife at the hands of the medical staff. I had no idea where they would take her and what her condition was. I was alone and I needed help. All I remember was standing at the connecting corridor of the delivery ward, calling God for the second time. "God, I never asked you for anything. Please let my daughter live." And he did. We named her Shiley, which means in Hebrew, a gift to me. Later on, I joined Alpha Course. It was a very unique experience for me. I became a seeker. It didn't feel so strange this time, and with the support of my team leader, things became more clear who Yeshua is. I started reading the New Testament for the first time and learned about a Jewish Messiah who lived in Nazareth, right near my home, years ago. In my mind, I believed God is my creator, but I didn't surrender my heart to Yeshua. At the end of the Alpha course, we had a retreat. One of the staff members I've never met before got a message from God, which she wrote down. She handed a piece of paper to me and told me to read it. The message was personally addressed to me. It spoke about how he knew me from the very beginning and how he was always with me. even if he never, I never wanted a relationship with him. The letter ended by asking me to surrender myself to him. I was shaking to my core with these words, and I started my long journey seeking a relationship with God, my Father in heaven, my Creator, and Yeshua, my Lord. Life with Yeshua is very different. It's a different, very different life. It doesn't mean all my struggles are over. Life with Yeshua in my heart, life with Yeshua in my heart changed how I see everything. My wife, my daughters, my family, my work, and the people around me. I am no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. These are not just words. Words of a song I heard many times. This is where I want to be. But I still have a burden I cannot bring myself to let go. And that is sharing openly with my family and friends in Israel that I have chosen to follow Yeshua. This is a very controversial issue among many Jews who still reject Yeshua as our Messiah, as the Messiah of our people and the world. I've been taking baby steps. I pray for that day that I will share my faith with them openly, as I have shared with all of you this morning. Thank you.
Amen. You receive Yaron as your brother in Christ? Yeah. Amen. Good job. Thank you.
You hold it all together. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. And I'm no longer
My name is Priscilla, and it's my privilege to share my testimony with you today. Born to Christian parents, I was raised in a Christian home where we prayed before every meal. We read stories from the children's Bible, and we attended church every week without fail. As well, my parents placed me in a Christian school at a young age. So from all three spheres of home, church, and school life, I learned about God as the creator of the universe, my brokenness as a sinner, and about Jesus as my Savior on the cross. It was stressed that my salvation did not come from my upbringing or from my parents. So at the age of 7, I recited the sinner's prayer for myself, and I accepted Jesus as Lord of my life. That quiet decision was a response to all the love and the faithfulness of the people around me, from my parents to my teachers. And there was no dramatic conversion. There was only the promise of God's grace, and 14 years later, I'm still discovering what it means to live in fullness of that promise. As I went through elementary and middle school, life was good. I had good friends, my family loved me, and my idea of disappointment was receiving less than a 95 on my math test. I listened obediently to the many chapel messages, the sermons and Bible classes, and I tried my best to live a life pleasing to God. However, this was all in my own strength, and I was trying to do this with trying to be good enough for God. I heard many times about how faith was a personal relationship with God, and I tried to develop good biblical disciplines in my life to please God and to place God and others before myself. While these things in themselves are good, it slowly turned into a self-righteousness and pride over those who weren't as good as I was. It was easy to view my faith in terms of right and wrong. I sought to be right with God by following all the rules, by doing good things, and by serving him as best as I could. There were times when I felt convicted about this self-reliance, but eventually I would go back to relying on my own efforts and feeling guilty when I wasn't doing enough. When I was 15, I moved to a small town in Canada. That was the first time I really was forced to grapple with my identity. I didn't know anyone and nobody knew me. Who was I when I was nobody? Was it enough that God calls me known? As I encountered difficulties and obstacles, it became harder to rely on my own self-righteousness. My brokenness couldn't be ignored. I remember a time when I tried to pray for a classmate of mine, and even before I prayed for her, I felt so much fear. As I prayed, and even after I prayed, there was still so much fear within me. And I couldn't understand how God could use me, such a selfish and conceited and cowardly person. But I was reminded that's exactly what he did on the cross. That's exactly who our God is. He takes us in our brokenness and he makes us whole. Because it's not about what I can do for God, but it's about what God has already done for me on the cross. Even despite my faithlessness, God provided for me many faithful friends and Christian mentors who lived out the gospel truth in such compelling and bold ways. It's not as if everything was solved then. I still struggle with trying to placing my works before the blood of Jesus. But slowly, through little acts of faith and ordinary means of Bible study, prayer, and community, God opened my eyes to this endless striving that I was aiming for and how I really wasn't good enough. But that didn't matter because by his blood on the cross, it had bought my worthiness. My striving came from an insecurity and a skewed view of who God is, and it's really unworthy of him. But the truth is that there's nothing I can do to be good enough to be accepted by God. By relying on my own efforts, it was actually contrary to the gospel truth that I prayed so many years ago. Even as I came back to Hong Kong for university, I encountered many more instances where I felt inadequate, scared, disappointed. But instead of obsessing over my fears or my failures and disappointments, I can be free knowing that my faith is placed in the blood of Christ and not on anything I can do. God is always faithful and he is good. And Jesus is the author and the perfecter of my faith. Even in what my flesh cannot do, he has already done through the Spirit on the cross. I'm so grateful for all the people I have around me today who point me back to this truth again and again. I'm standing here to get baptized, not because I'm perfect or that I've made it, but because this is the beautiful hope that I believe. By grace, Jesus' work on the cross has brought my redemption yesterday, today, and forever. Thank you.
Amen. You receive Priscilla as your sister in Christ?
Yeah. Amen. Thank you. Good job.
I am a child.
Amen. Why don't we rise to our feet and let's sing before the Lord as we wrap up our service.
I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear.
so I could walk right through it. My fears are drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I can stand and sing. I am a child of God.
You split the sea.
You split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears are drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I can stand and sing. I am a child of God's son. I am a child.
Amen. Let's pray together. Father, Lord, we thank you so much for all the testimonies, God, all the babies. Lord, you really richly bless our body, God. Lord, I pray, Lord, for each baptism candidate, Lord, as they continue to walk out their faith, Lord, that you would protect them. We know the enemy is not happy, God, that they made that declaration today. And so we pray for your covering. We pray that the body would come together to pray your prayers of peace and protection, God. We thank you, Lord. I thank you that you're continually writing our story, God. And we're safe in your hands, Lord. Lord, even you said that no one can snatch you out of your hands. And we thank you for that assurance, God. Lord, continue to watch over us. Help us to be gracious and generous, God, to our fathers today as we celebrate fathers. And of course, Lord, you are our only father, the best one we could ever hope for. So happy Father's Day to you, Father God. We thank you, God. We love you, Lord. We bless you. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you. Be gracious to him. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen, amen. Let's give a huge clap.